The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Beautiful afternoon here at Edstone. All the children swimming outside in a pool that someone must have brought in and pumped up. So they're having fun, and I noticed it looks like a squirrel tail right outside my back door, which probably means Arnold ate an entire squirrel, which seems like that borders on gluttony. That's a lot of food to put down. He has been out and about. He doesn't know who to stay with since our travels have taken us to the States back and forth. In any event, speaking of the animals, the great spotted woodpecker, that is now a frequent visitor to the bird feeder. That's my favorite bird that shows up, and more are showing up. Bigger birds, in fact. Some of them are not as nice and are very loud, like the crow. The crow is showing up. The wood pigeon, I told you about the wood pigeon a while back. I caught the guys off guard. They're trying to look for pictures of birds. Show them the spotted woodpecker. It's such a beautiful bird. And he's just hanging out there eating, and then he hops over to the bird bath and then back to eat a few more seeds. It's delightful to watch. Well, there's plenty of very serious, conversation, topics to discuss following yesterday and just everything that's been in the news, the rioting and the looting and the arson and the vandalism and the violence that just continues in the United States of America. Just about every major city in the country, this vast country of 330 million people, and so many of the cities, at least large sections of them, still burning, still going up in flames, still being looted. And of course, this is not exactly a very safe environment for police officers in the United States. They're being targeted. They're being beat up in some of this footage and run over even. There were cases in Buffalo and New York City where vehicles just plowed through lines of policemen and took off. There have been reports of shootings over the night as well. St. Louis, I think 4 police officers got shot. They're all in the hospital, so they haven't died from it. But 4 police officers, and this from the Las Vegas Sun, it says a police officer was shot late Monday night toward the end of a Black Lives Matter protest on the Strip, according to Metro Police. Metro is reporting 2 separate shootings in Vegas, as tensions between police and demonstrators become heated, including an officer being shot in the 2800 block of South Las Vegas Boulevard. So you've seen footage probably of policemen just being dragged through the streets, pummeled by the mob. The mob is angry. The mob is upset. The mob wants justice. This is what justice looks like to the radical left. This is what they want. Presumably it's for George Floyd. Never mind his trial. Never mind the charges brought upon him. Never mind the fact that he's been arrested and charged with murder. These are people who want justice in the form of anarchy, as I discussed yesterday. They want to bring down the system. The system is flawed. The system is evil. And so the system has to be destroyed. And if that means destroying our cities, then, well, that means destroy the cities. Here, Midtown Manhattan, the city we visited 6, 7, 8 months ago, well, I guess almost a year now. Midtown Manhattan, all these fancy shops, in and around Trump Tower, Saks Fifth Avenue, Macy's. Hundreds and hundreds of people filing into and out of Macy's with clothing and shoes and jewelry. Right in Lower Manhattan or Midtown Manhattan. The city of New York just being trashed. Someone on the scene tweeted out last night, hard to describe how rampant the looting was tonight in Midtown Manhattan and how lawless it was. Complete anarchy, it says. Literally hundreds of stores up and down Broadway, Fifth Avenue, Sixth Avenue, kids ruling the streets like it was a party, it says. Children ruling. All of these young people. These young people, coming from every race, by the way, but just assembling together as a mob, going from one store to the next. Looting Foot Locker, looting Saks Fifth Avenue, looting Macy's, looting Target. And as we'll see from some of the clips, the appalling news coverage that's justifying, even justifying, this violent behavior. And you compare it to what some of these leaders in dark blue states were saying just a couple weeks ago. This was Mayor de Blasio when he was talking about the health and the safety of New Yorkers. Clip 11.
Anyone tries to get in the water, they'll be taken right out of the water.
Yeah, if you get into the water, we're going to take you out. We're going to pull you right out of the water. You can't be out swimming. It's COVID-19. People are dying. People are dying all over the place. So you can't go out without a mask. And if you're on the beach, you better keep running. Don't stop. Don't get in the water. It's dangerous. If you get in the water, we'll pull you right out. Meanwhile, all of these young people, hundreds, thousands of young people in that man's city, smashing windows, smashing their way through the front window of Saks Fifth Avenue. And evidently that's not that big of a health risk. Well, it is, and you know it is, in more ways than one. And supposing we're supposed to still be concerned about coronavirus. How dangerous is this for the health of those people? Just going by what Mr. de Blasio has been telling us, what he's been lecturing us. And now all of a sudden, well, they've moved on. And this is the next chapter in the coup, the attempted coup. To bring down the system, to bring down the Trump government, to overturn everything. That mayor there, the mayor of New York City, his daughter, she's 25, and she was arrested just two nights ago. Arrested for protesting, that's what she says. And he believes her. She wasn't doing anything unlawful, so I'm not sure why she got arrested. But she was out there just doing her thing. And here's how the mayor of New York City, Mayor de Blasio, here's his comments on his daughter's arrest, clip 13.
When I found out she had been arrested, finally reached her with Shirlane, and we asked her to recount the whole story. And look, I love my daughter deeply. I honor her. She is such a good human being. She only wants to do good in the world. She wants to see a better and more peaceful world. She believes a lot of change is needed. I'm proud of her that she cares so much that she was willing to go out there and do something about it.
So he's proud of her for going out and doing something about it. About what? About it. The system. Now, she got arrested. She was out with the crowds. I'm not sure if she wore a face mask or not. But she was out with the crowds. And the good mayor, he's proud of her. 2 weeks ago, he said, if you get in the water, any of you New Yorkers, if you get in the water, we'll come and take you out. Now here he is saying, my daughter didn't do anything wrong. There was a report yesterday that said he was that his office is investigating videos with police officers. The police officers are being run over in New York. But they have to investigate the police because they're public enemy number one right now. This is not a good, this is not a safe time for police officers. And so the mayor of New York City, who was just using these officers not 2 seconds ago to pull people out of the water, now they're coming under investigation for anything and everything they do because they can't be aggressive. They can't show much force. They've got to exercise a lot of restraint. Because remember, there's a little bit of that Minneapolis officer mentality in everyone. If you're white, it's in all the police. There was a reporter, by the way, who noticed Mayor de Blasio last night. He was on a quiet street in Manhattan, got out of his car. There was some security detail with him, and he got out just to walk out on the sidewalk for a bit, talk on his cell phone. And then one of his advisors inside the vehicle motioned to him and said, hey, the mob, or excuse me, the protesters are coming up the street. And he got in that car and they got out of there in a hurry. This is the leader of the city. He's proud of his daughter. He's proud of the protesters. He's proud that they're doing something about it. And what is it? Well, it's the system. And it's got to come down because it's unfair. It's unjust. It's racist. Here comes the mob up his street. And he very quickly gets into his car and takes off. Governor Cuomo, for his part, here the leading city, the biggest city in his state, is being trashed. And the president last night in his speech is talking about if these city and state leaders don't, if they don't do their job, I'm going to send in the military. And this is what Governor Cuomo thought about receiving help from the U.S. military in New York. Clip one.
What do you say to the president? He'll deploy the U.S. military. He will solve the problem for you if you don't do it.
I say thank you, but no thank you.
No thanks for the help or the assistance here. This is the same man who, again, weeks ago, he needed everything. He needed military help then, didn't he? Well, they got the Navy vessel. The Navy vessel with all the beds that never were used. And now the president says, I'll provide military assistance to maintain rule of law, to maintain law and order. And what is his response? Thanks, but no thank you. No thank you. We don't need any help with administering the rule of law here in New York. These are leaders that are quite happy to see their cities go up in flames. So long as it furthers their political agenda, it says something. It says a lot of things about their leadership, the corruptness, just how pernicious this activity, this behavior is, and it's perpetuated, it's celebrated. And it tells you also just how fraudulent their motives and intentions were during the coronavirus crisis. Oh, these were two of the toughest. It's disrespectful. You don't wear a mask. Look, it's not about you. It's about me. You could get me sick. Put on the mask. He said in that press conference, while he wasn't wearing a mask, by the way, you get into the water, we'll pull you out. All of that tough talk. You just do what we say. They're all for police state tactics. As long as it's big government imposing its will on all of the sheeple. But if someone comes along and says, look, this is a constitutional republic. This is a republic that actually stands for limited government. and for liberty. And the only way to maintain those liberties is to uphold the rule of law. And they don't want it. They don't want it. So these radical left-wing socialists, they don't want any help from the government. Not now. And then all of their allies in the media, they're just appalled at President Trump calling out Antifa, calling these mobsters terrorists. They're just appalled that the President of the United States would clear out Lafayette Park so that he could walk over to St. John's Church. They can't believe it. You're bringing in the military? This is turning into an authoritarian state. And as I said yesterday, you heard all the headlines. The police, they're starting to get a little bit aggressive. As if these people in the mob are just innocent angels. As they work their way through one city after another, burning, looting, in some cases, shooting, lots of punching, lots of tackling, lots of bashing. And there's actually prominent commentators in this society that are, I guess, quite happy for this to continue. That's right. That's America today. That's what this president is going up against. Listen to what he said last night in the Rose Garden, clip 5.
But in recent days, our nation has been gripped by professional anarchists, violent mobs, arsonists, looters, criminals, rioters, Antifa, and others. A number of state and local governments have failed to take necessary action to safeguard their residents. Innocent people have been savagely beaten, like the young man in Dallas, Texas, who was left dying on the street, or the woman in upstate New York, viciously attacked by dangerous thugs. Small business owners have seen their dreams utterly destroyed. New York's finest have been hit in the face with bricks. Brave nurses who have battled the virus are afraid to leave their homes. A police precinct has been overrun here in the nation's capital. The Lincoln Memorial and the World War II Memorial have been vandalized. One of our most historic churches was set ablaze. A federal officer in California, an African-American enforcement hero, was shot and killed. These are not acts of peaceful protest. These are acts of domestic terror. The destruction of innocent life and the spilling of innocent blood is an offense to humanity and a crime against God.
A crime against God, he says. That's some pretty strong language and quite detailed as well. All these incidents that he just lists off, he rattled them off. And that's pretty important for him to do, because if you turn over to MSNBC or CNN, or if you read the New York Times or the Washington Post, you see nothing about that. The beating in Dallas or upstate New York, or the law enforcement official killed in California. You don't see anything on that. All that you hear them point out is, well, they acknowledge there's a little bit of looting, but that's just a very small, tiny, tiny, tiny portion. Everybody is out peacefully protesting, we're told. Jump ahead, Sam, to that montage on number 2.
Although many of the protests have been peaceful, we can't emphasize that enough.
It should be noted that the demonstration here in Washington, and this is the case around much of the country as well, those demonstrations were largely peaceful.
And I just want to reiterate, most of the protests that we saw this weekend were peaceful.
But most protests remained peaceful.
There have been mostly peaceful demonstrations.
And I think it's so important, Kareem, to make the distinction between, for the most part, these protests are peaceful.
One woman told me she couldn't help but notice how beautiful it all was.
Yeah, it's just all beautiful, isn't it? This is the American way. So much peaceful protesting. The one reporter in that montage that said he's right here in Washington. He was near the White House. It's been peaceful. 50 Secret Service agents injured over the weekend. 50! And with respect to that particular angle of the story, a total cover-up. A total cover-up. Someone who commented on the show yesterday on Facebook said I was wildly exaggerating on this because he hasn't seen anything in the news about these rioters surrounding the White House. It's not in the news because it's not being covered. 50 Secret Service agents injured protecting the White House grounds, preventing protesters from storming the White House. That's what was happening over the weekend. You would think that'd be the headline news for days. No, it's covered up under the reporting you just heard there. Yeah, it's been mostly peaceful, and what we're seeing is a beautiful thing. Well, some of these people live in Midtown Manhattan. Some of the people reporting on this. How shameful this is. They're living among the rioters in some cases. They're seeing their communities trashed. And then they're rushing to report, trying to avoid getting beaten themselves or hit with rubber bullets. And then the camera starts rolling. Hey, you know, everything we've noticed here is it's pretty peaceful. That's why Mayor de Blasio took off when he saw the mob coming, right? It's hard for me to wrap my mind around the level of deceit and dishonesty. I thought I saw the absolute worst of it during the pandemic. This takes it to another level. Lying about what is actually happening. Well, of course, there's some who I'm sure are just going out to protest. But these are not three or four people streaming out of Foot Locker. These are not one or two bad actors that just accidentally broke the window in front of Target. Maybe there's an element who show up thinking that they're just going to protest and then they get swept up into it, knowing the devil and how he works. I'm sure that's part of it too. But this is the mindset. This is the activity. This is what the police are there to prevent so that you don't have a total breakdown in society, a total breakdown of law and order. So here is the president yesterday saying, look, this is a crime against not just your nation, your community. It's against God. A few years ago, we produced this article, The Destruction of the Rule of Law in America. It's actually in the Why the Trumpet Watches series. As I say, a few years back, we just wanted to inform our readers why it is we're watching this particular trend. And you can see the headline there. That's from 3 years back. The Destruction of the Rule of Law in America. There's a timeline embedded in this article that just takes you back through the history of the Trumpet reporting, Trumpet articles. It goes back into the 1990s. And we tell you where it leads. That's the whole point of the Trumpet. What happens when the rule of law is destroyed? This is a short excerpt from the article. It says, the Constitution gets some fundamental questions very correct. It does so to the degree that it operates in harmony with the foundational truths revealed by our Creator. So it's based, as my father's written, the spirit of it, the intent of it. There's a lot of biblical principles that are there. It says its authors help to secure the blessings of liberty to their posterity, not because of their brilliance, but because of their humility. before divine providence. It says the great lawgiver and the supreme judge of the world. It says the reason rejecting America's constitutional rule of law is so monumental is that it's a form of rejecting God. This is what the protesters don't realize. They think that by rejecting those founding documents, we can finally rid our society of those old white men who were racist and in some cases slave owners. But they should be holding these documents up, the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. These are the documents that had a hand in their release from captivity. And think of the hundreds of thousands of Americans who shed their blood so that we could eliminate that original sin. I think my father in the Ezekiel booklet, he calls it America's number one sin, slavery. Look at the problems it's caused. And of course, there's still people in the black community struggling to come out of it, all of the disadvantages that were there and the disruption to their family living. But we've also got to look at ourselves, and we've got to look at our human nature, whether we're white or black, and we've got to look at the influence of Satan the devil, and we've got to look to, above all, we've got to look to God. These are crimes against God, and he's right. The president was right to say that. Crimes against God, and there's cause and effect. What happens when we turn to lawlessness? I covered it yesterday. Jesus said, you better look around when it starts turning into the way it was before the flood. Evil, corruption, and violence. And in that same prophecy in Luke 17, by the way, it says that people were just carrying on in Noah's day, eating, drinking, marrying. So they just continued to amuse themselves. They just continued to be entertained. Here we had all of these weeks, months in fact, under house arrest, locked in our homes, so to speak. And you look at some of the articles about our behavior during that time, all the movies and the entertainment, and no doubt the pent-up frustrations that come from living a life that's not productive and on the move. And you wonder how much that contributed to the vile behavior that we see on display now. All in response to one case in a nation of 330 million people. One case of police brutality. This article from Powerline, Paul Mierengoff. He says, the rioting that's taking place in cities all over America provides a glimpse of the kind of people police officers confront every day. I don't deny Antifa's involvement in the current chaos, he says, but that group lacks the foot soldiers needed to carry out the widespread arson, looting, and vandalism our cities are experiencing. So a lot of groups, in other words, coming together. There's the outside groups coming in. Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and so on. And then there's just the local criminals as well, together with the protesters, hijacking the protest, and then carrying out their agenda. The foot soldiers, it says, are local thugs. Police officers deal with them as a matter of course. On a daily basis, as the prison population decreases, the police must deal with a growing number of them. Remember, we let a lot of the prisoners out during the virus because we were concerned about their safety, you see. Just like we're concerned about the safety of someone that gets in the water. Well, now there's more prisoners outside. And as it happens, they're coming together with thousands of other people, face to face pretty much, maskless in some cases, probably in many cases. Just goes from bad to worse, doesn't it? It says maybe thousands, with that many interactions, talking about the police interactions with these locals, the criminal behavior that goes on in a big city. There's a lot of that. And his point is that police are dealing with this daily and trying to keep it from turning into what we've seen over the last 4 or 5 days. He says, in the midst of all those confrontations, it's inevitable that on occasion, police officers will use too much violence. It's inevitable that on rare occasions, that violence will produce a wrongful death. Zero tolerance does not mean zero incidents. There's mistakes made. There are bad actors. There's a bad apple here and there. You see it in every sector of society. He says, this doesn't excuse the individual officers who behave too brutally. Some level of drunk driving is inevitable. So is some level of rape. We don't excuse drunk drivers and rapists. We punish them, or we should. So too with police officers who brutalize those with whom they interact, including the thugs. Now listen to this, because it just goes through some statistics, and we've talked before about the importance of context. The importance of seeing a little bit of the big picture. It says, but the high volume of interactions between police officers and the kind of people who these days are rioting is relevant to assessing the overall performance of the police. It's relevant to assessing claims that the police is out of control and that African Americans can't breathe because of police oppression. So that's what we're being told. They're being oppressed on a daily basis. It says, according to the Washington Post, 19 unarmed African-American males were killed by police in 2017 and 17 in 2016. That's an average of 18 per year. It's unlikely that all 18 were unjustified, but let's assume that they were. Let's just assume for a moment that these 18 killings, 18 in a nation of 330 million, let's assume the 18 were unjustified. He says that's 18 too many. But measured against the number of police interactions during the year with the kind of people who are rioting and recognizing that there will always be some bad cops and some inexperienced ones, it's a small number. There's no denying this. If you just scratch beneath the surface a tiny bit. And if you want to go further, perhaps compare it to other nations. Some other nations in Central South America or in Africa and Southeast Asia, even European nations. I don't have all those stats on hand. But his point is, it's a small number. It says, if American police forces were populated with an appreciable number of genocidal racists or even just trigger-happy cops, the number of unarmed black males killed by police in a year would be much larger than 18. See, most of the policemen, in other words, are doing their jobs, or they're trying to. In some cases, given the climate we're in now, they're being gunned down. They're being run over by vehicles. They're being dragged through the streets. They're being stomped on. It says, indeed, if American police forces were populated with an appreciable number of out-of-control cops, we would be seeing a more violent response by the police to the rioting that's purging our cities night after night. Isn't that an interesting point? If they're full of bad cops, all of these police forces, then why aren't a lot of these rioters just being gunned down? If anything, like I said yesterday, they've gone missing, the police. The rioters have shown up and the police evacuated the precinct. This is what the president wants to put an end to. He wants to stop this. It's anarchy. It will destroy our nation. Forget about the race angle for a moment to consider what this does to the nation. Well, we know it's prophesied. Hopefully I'll have time to get to some of that as well. Let me just finish this Powerline piece. It says, after the dust settles from the current rioting, think about the day-to-day life of a big city cop. Think about what it must be like to confront, on a daily basis, the thugs we've seen on television the last few evenings. Think about the stress of the job. Think about the courage it must take to leave home every day to perform it. The villains of the tragedy being played out right now are a few cops, two or three guys in Georgia who aren't cops, and thousands of rioters throughout the country. It says American police officers as a class are not among the villains, if anything. They are the heroes. They are the heroes, but not if you believe the anarchists and their allies in the media. They are there to tell you. This is the new word. We learned a lot of new words during the virus pandemic, social distancing and all these other things. Now it's systemic. Systemic racism. Racism that's been there in the government, in the system, in the police force for hundreds of years. Everyone has it. This is the new virus. Listen to this montage. It's from CBS. They're bringing together all the experts to tell us how much contempt white people have for people of color. Clip 4.
Protesters around the world have taken to the streets to call out police brutality and the systemic racism against black people.
My sign says white silence equals white violence, and I want everybody to recognize that because white people are the people oppressing black people.
Author and educator Tim Wise says it's not fear that drives people to conflate blackness with crime, but power and a disregard for some people of color.
American history is one in which white Americans, by and large, have been taught to have indifference or even contempt for black life. We have defined the country as a white nation where people of color are here on a guest pass, and it's a guest pass that we think we can revoke.
CBS News contributor Ibram X. Kendi is a professor at American University. He says since the Jim Crow era, white people have had the right of using the police to their advantage.
They recognize that they have the privilege to call a police officer with the belief that the police officer, even if they're in the wrong, will be on their side.
It's a painful history that educator Jane Elliott has been trying to fight for more than 50 years.
You need to educate yourself as to the truth of this situation instead of believing the lie that has been promulgated in this country for the last 400 years. The lie of several different races and the lie of the rightness of whiteness.
Racism in America, you said, is like dust in the air. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, it's just like have you ever been in a room and there's something, you feel a little something itching in your nose, there's something in the air, a dust or a pollen that you can't see. Racism is like that. It's ingrained in our society.
It's everywhere. It was Barack Obama who said it's in our DNA. So how do you fix that then? If we're born with it, how do you fix it? Well, you bring down the system. You unleash the mob in pursuit of justice. And here comes the president saying, look, as a nation, if the rule of law breaks down, then that's it. In his speech yesterday, he talked about the rule of law. Sam noted this morning. What kind of a target do you suppose that makes him in the devil's eyes? And with his enemies coming from the radical leftist communist movement in the United States, for him to get up there and to talk about the rule of law, this is what the founders talked about. This is what the founders established. And they said, look, if you're going to keep it, if it's going to hold together, everybody better be really serious about their religion and about their morality. Well, that's long since gone, and look at what's happening. Here's what the president said yesterday, clip 9.
America is founded upon the rule of law. It is the foundation of our prosperity, our freedom, and our very way of life. But where there is no law, there is no opportunity. Where there is no justice, there is no liberty. Where there is no safety, there is no future. We must never give in to anger or hatred. If malice or violence reigns, then none of us is free. I take these actions today with firm resolve and with a true and passionate love for our country. By far, our greatest days lie ahead.
Well, that part at the end, there's a temporary salvation or saving happening right now. We don't know how much longer that's going to continue. But we know that because the rule of law has been destroyed in so many sectors of society, that this will not end well. But before that last statement, what a speech! What a speech! This is perhaps one of his finest. And it's one that made his enemies probably the angriest. Look, given what's happened, if you don't just talk about George Floyd or the protesters' grievances, we don't want to hear it. We don't want you to even bring it up. In fact, he talked about George Floyd at the start of his speech and said how that they're pursuing justice for the Floyd family, a family that's grieving. And then he says, for our society to function, we have to uphold the rule of law. That's the foundation. Where there's no law, there's no opportunity, there's no freedom, there's no safety. And incredibly, this is what people want. Listen to this reporter. She's, I think this is CNN, and she's out on the scene justifying the destruction. This is clip 3.
I know people see violence and think that people are just taking advantage of the situation, and there may be some people who are. I don't know that every single person is doing this born out of pain, but I can tell you many people are. We've seen it. They don't know what to do with that emotion, so their response, especially young folks, is to lash out. And one of the young folks, we talked to him on your show. You had him on your show. A young man who is from Minneapolis who said, do you see all this damage here? You don't listen to us when we speak, so you listen to us now, don't you? So acting out gets attention. And they know that because the other way hasn't gotten them the attention. It hasn't done anything. It hasn't changed anything. So they're hoping this will.
That's a grown woman talking to Chris Cuomo on CNN, basically saying, if you don't get your way, throw a tantrum. Throw a tantrum until you get your way. This is the lesson. And this has been building for generations. Lawlessness in the home, in the family, in the community, in the nation. The destruction of the rule of law. Where is this leading? What could this possibly lead to other than our own total destruction? Just like I covered with you yesterday, as in the days of Noah. I got an email from one of our students from Zimbabwe. He says, he's in Oklahoma at the moment. It says, while the death of George Floyd is indeed a tragedy that should and is going through the proper channels of the judicial system, cases such as his are in reality so few and far between that they have to be treated on a case-by-case basis, as you showed Larry Elder saying on the show. This is speaking of yesterday's show. It says, as you said, most of the people from where I come from don't live lives anywhere near the prosperity of lower-class America. This is a black man living in America who's very thankful for it, who's very appreciative. All of the blessings, all of the opportunities. It says here, it's honestly frustrating to see people deliberately fueled into a violent frenzy over something that a little bit of digging and rational thought would debunk. He says, I couldn't help but think about the expose by Project Veritas a few months ago showing some Bernie Sanders campaign staffers making shocking statements about how Milwaukee is going to burn if Sanders didn't win the nomination. Several of those clips showed them saying that they had radicals on standby, just waiting to literally begin setting cities ablaze and inciting violence. Sam was reminding me of this point yesterday. How much of this has been planned? Well, the incident happened a little over a week ago, and they have capitalized on it. They found the one case. The one case, and it's very rare, says Larry Elder, says Powerline, says the Washington Post. But it's all that they needed. It was the trigger that set all of this off. It says, I can't help but wonder how many of those very radicals are in those crowds using this tragedy for their own political motives right now. You think those people streaming into Macy's are thinking about George Floyd and his family? Trevor Loudon at the Epoch Times. He says here, and there's not too many commentators that align with the trumpet, but look at this title. Cities burn, but none dare call it communist insurrection. Well now, think about what Herbert Armstrong was prophesying as many as 60 and 70 years ago. Think about the He Was Right booklet. That section in there on the communist infiltration. We've had programs on this recently. He writes, the violence since the police-involved death of George Floyd in Minneapolis is a communist-inspired insurrection, nothing more, nothing less. This is an insurrection. This is a rebellion. This is a revolt. It says on May 28th, the Twin Cities Democratic Socialists of America, the National Political Committee, issued an emotionally charged, extremely biased statement in support of the rioters. These are the Democratic Socialists of America. These are communists, basically. And here was their statement released last week. It says, we, the NPC of the Democratic Socialists of America, condemn the public execution of George Floyd at the hands of the Minneapolis police. And of course, the rest of the nation condemns that act. And the president condemns it. And the attorney general condemns it. But listen to what they go on to say. His murder falls into the deeply entrenched pattern of violence, anti-blackness, and oppression upheld by policing in this country. This is white supremacy. It says racist police violence is not incidental to the capitalist system. In other words, it's all over the place. It's everywhere. It's necessary to maintain its operation. It's how you maintain the system. White supremacy. That's what he's saying, or that's what this organization's saying. It says, we recognize that as we fight for a better world, it will be the police who threaten our protests. The police who will break up our picket lines. The police who selectively wield their monopoly on violence against black people and working class people to protect those with power and privilege. This is the statement. They make no bones about it. The Democrat Socialists, the National Political Committee of this Democrat Socialists of America party. So this author, Trevor Loudon at the Epoch Times, he just talks about how all of these groups, they're scattered all over the nation, and there's some different names with some of them, the Revolutionary Communist Party, how many outfits or offices it has throughout the nation. Again, not hundreds of thousands of members, but when you put the tens of thousands together and think about what they're using, what they're exploiting, what they're planning, together with whoever else, Black Lives Matter, Antifa. It says, despite overwhelming and abundant evidence that communists are heavily involved in these protests and riots, very few journalists have been willing to expose the truth. One notable exception is Antifa expert Andy Ngo. It says, this is a tweet from him, May 30th. So this goes back just a few days ago. He tweeted, "We are witnessing glimpses of the full insurrection the far left has been working on for decades. Within hours, militant Antifa cells across the country mobilized to aid Black Lives Matter rioters. The first broken window is the blood in the water for looters to move in. The fires come next," he said. And, well, he ended up right about that. He tweeted later, "Media, politicians, public, all of us have underestimated the training and purpose and capability of left-wing extremists. Every part of the rioting has a purpose. Fires destroy economy. Riots can overwhelm police and even military. All of it leads to a destabilized state if maintained." Now you think about what Mr. Armstrong was writing about back in 1956. It's the kind of warfare, he said, that we don't understand. That's what this individual was tweeting. We don't understand. We underestimate this threat. Mr. Armstrong said that in 1956. "It uses every diabolical means to weaken us," Mr. Armstrong said, "from within, sapping our strength, perverting our morals, sabotaging our educational system, wrecking our social structure, destroying our spiritual and religious life, weakening our industrial and economic power, demoralizing our armed forces, and finally, after such infiltration, overthrowing our government by force and violence." That's from 1956. This author at the Epoch Times yesterday said, "The U.S. left now has the power to start race riots in nearly every major U.S. city. Unless forcefully countered, these current riots and protests will go on all summer up until the elections. The twin goals are to stall the U.S. economy and destroy President Donald Trump." So it's a war, in other words. It's a war. And here comes President Trump yesterday saying, "Look, the foundation of this nation is to uphold the rule of law." Here's another clip from his speech in the Rose Garden, clip 6.
"America needs creation, not destruction. Cooperation, not contempt. Security, not anarchy. Healing, not hatred. Justice, not chaos. This is our mission, and we will succeed 100%. We will succeed. Our country always wins. That is why I am taking immediate presidential action to stop the violence and restore security and safety in America. I am mobilizing all available federal resources, civilian and military, to stop the rioting and looting, to end the destruction and arson, and to protect the rights of law-abiding Americans, including your Second Amendment rights."
That was yesterday, and then he went on to say, "If the states don't do their job, the U.S. military will." I think we have time for the statement he made in number 8 here, where he talks about protecting the Capitol, Washington, D.C.
"I am also taking swift and decisive action to protect our great capital, Washington, D.C. What happened in this city last night was a total disgrace. As we speak, I am dispatching thousands and thousands of heavily armed soldiers, military personnel, and law enforcement officers to stop the rioting, looting, vandalism, assaults, and the wanton destruction of property. We are putting everybody on warning. Our 7 o'clock curfew will be strictly enforced. Those who threaten innocent life and property will be arrested, detained, and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. I want the organizers of this terror to be on notice that you will face severe criminal penalties and lengthy sentences in jail. This includes Antifa and others who are leading instigators of this violence. One law and order, and that is what it is. One law. We have one beautiful law. And once that is restored and fully restored, We will help you. We will help your business. And we will help your family.
That's from President Trump yesterday. And you can see, in looking at the footage from over the last several days, what he and his administration will be going up against. An enemy of the state. They want, his enemies, they want a communist police state where the mighty government, the ever-expanding government, just gives you whatever you want and then tells you what you can and cannot do. What they don't want is a constitutional republic that stands for limited government and liberty and the rule of law. My father has said just how close we were to losing it all in the lead up to that last election. And God intervened, didn't he? To give us just a temporary salvation or a saving of the nation temporarily. He's just that merciful, giving us a little bit more time to turn to him, to turn to our God in repentance and faith. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can send it to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us on today's show. We'll see you tomorrow.